On this Mother's Day, Sunday, what a day it is. I'm so excited to have my wife here with me, who is a wonderful mother. I'm so thankful for her to have my actual mother here. So glad to have her with us. And then here in a few moments, I get to go see my granny. And so really excited to see her. What a day it's been. I tell you, I'm so thankful over the course of the last 3-4 weeks, ever how long it's been since I've been here. I guess it's been a month, I have 4 weeks now. You guys have encouraged me, you've prayed for me, you've sent me letters, you've sent me Facebook messages, you've done all those things, you've been attentive to and asking how can we help, and I just appreciate that so much. So just on behalf of my family, thank you guys. We're so glad to be here with you. This week, tomorrow we pack up, Tuesday we load up, and then Wednesday we unload over here, H.E. Johnson Road is where we're moving to, so just so thankful. For all the folks who have already said they plan to come out and help and be with us. If you would, grab your text. I hope you brought your Bible with you this morning. Always bring your Bible because you always want to make sure that the preacher is saying what the Bible says, okay? Never leave your Bible at home. Never trust the screen. Bring your copy of God's Word. That way that you can become familiar with your copy of God's Word and make sure that what the preacher is saying is actually what the Bible says. So glad that you brought that this morning. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Chapter 1 is where we'll be this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll be looking at verses 3 through 7 will be our text this morning. You know, Pastor Tom has been, he started a series called A Modern Family, and we just continue in that this morning here as we think about a mother's influence, a mother's influence. The Bible says this, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word this morning? Let's stand together. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 through 7 says this, and I'm reading from the ESV, the English Standard Version. It says, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly, that you as Timothy, constantly in my prayers, night and day, as I, Paul, remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. This is the reading of God's holy, authoritative word. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the mothers in our presence this morning. Mothers who have laid down a foundation of faith all throughout our lives. Even if our mother is not here with us, Lord, we know the impact that she had on our life. Even if she didn't know the Lord, Father, just the common grace of God through her life seeped into us and blessed us. And so we thank you for mothers who are here or maybe are even passed away and already in heaven with you, Father. We praise you for mothers. But Father, most of all, we praise you for you. You made all things. We pray this morning, God, that you'd be with us, that you would enlighten our eyes, God, that we might understand your word of God, and then help us, God, to apply it to our lives. We want to pray for our brothers and sisters at the East Campus right now. Father, who are beginning to gather. They're about to have a service here in just a little while. Two services. And so, God, we pray that you'd bless them again as we are one church. God, would you just bind our hearts together to impact Bowling Green, Kentucky, Father, for your kingdom. We pray that the name of Christ would be lifted up. And today, God, you'd draw all men and women and children unto yourself. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, be seated. Well, today is May 11th, and that means that it's almost swimming season. I got any swimming fans in here? Anybody like swimming? Oh, yeah. My kids have been like, as soon as like the sun started shining, they saw the flowers beginning to bloom. They're like, Dad, can we go swimming? Can we go swimming? I'm like, y'all crazy. I ain't getting in that cold water, okay? But it's almost swim time. Most folks look at Memorial Day, which is just 2 weeks away, sort of as the opening of the pools. And so it's coming quickly. But you ever notice when you go to the pool that people approach the pool in different ways? All right, everybody kind of approaches it in a different way. There are those who stand on the sideline and they never get wet, right? They don't want to get wet. And in fact, if you splash them, they will give you a look, right? You know, they don't want to get wet. There are those people. Then there are those who just sort of dip their toe in. You know, they just try it out just a little bit. Then there are those who will sit on the steps and they'll get their feet and legs. Then there are those who are more like me. I like to get in just to my waist, right? Because I don't want to mess my hair up. You got, you know, you got to watch out for that. And then there are those, I mean, it's like, cannonball, you know, and they're running out and they jump in, deep in, you know, splash everywhere and all that. And so anyway, there are those who are like that. They just plunge right in. They dive right in. Can I suggest to you and submit to you this morning that motherhood is often approached in similar ways? There are those who choose to stay on the sideline and never become a mother, right? They want that. They don't want children. They're married maybe, and they physically are able to have children, but they've just chosen to not have children. And then there are mothers who are mothers, but they just sort of dip their toe in. They just sort of get their feet in. They just sort of get up to their waist. Because maybe there are other things. You know, being a mother is not the most important thing in their life. They're a bit reluctant. There are other things going on that they think is just more important to what they have going on in their life. It's sort of, yeah, I have children, but sometimes they sort of get in my way. But then there are mothers who do the cannonball. You know what I'm saying? And praise God for mothers like this. They just cannonball right in to the end of the deep end of motherhood. They rejoice in their motherhood. They embrace their motherhood. They pour themselves in to motherhood. They just plunge right in. And after their relationship with God and after their relationship with their husband, their babies are the most important people on the planet. Dear ones, I would suggest to you this morning that I believe that God desires mothers to dive in, to plunge in, to give themselves completely to the opportunity, the gift of motherhood. Why? I mean, isn't motherhood boring? I mean, isn't that what the world would have us to believe? I mean, isn't motherhood kind of letting the team down? I mean, here we are trying to raise women out of being held down and thought as second-class citizens. We're trying to get them to the highest echelons of society, right? That's what the feminists would have us to believe, isn't it? Well, isn't motherhood often thankless and endless and grimy and inconvenient and draining and hard work? Can I get an amen, women? Yes, it is. But the reward far outweighs the work. Amen. My goodness. When you ladies hold those babies and when you see them grow up, I just prepared graduation videos for the three young folks who are going to be graduating back at West Main Baptist in Alexandria. I did that before I left. They're going to honor them on the 18th. But to see those just over the course of 3 to 4 minutes during that video, to see them go from a crib to their graduation gowns. Oh my goodness, what a reward to see you raise up babies into men and women. That is a gift from God. Ladies, listen to me. God has given you the opportunity. You should plunge in and give yourselves to motherhood. Why? Because you have an amazing opportunity before you to influence the next generation for Jesus. That's what you get to do. In fact, I want you to think about this in sort of like big, redemptive, cosmic terms, okay? Whole Bible picture here. In a real sense, the Bible talks about this in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Go ahead and turn there with me if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to see this, and we'll come back to 2 Timothy. But I want you to see this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 15. You, through motherhood, this is how big of a deal this is. You are in fact working to reverse the fall that Mother Eve brought us into. I know that Adam gets the blame. He's the federal head and all those things, but it was Eve, the Bible says here in 1 Timothy, that brought it, that introduced it to Adam. And so mothers, you are literally working to reverse the fall of humanity as you raise up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I don't know about y'all, I think that's a pretty big deal. Don't y'all? Let's look here what it says. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 15. Look what it says. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet, notice this, yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. What that's saying there again is that you ladies, through motherhood, through bearing children, raising children, you are working to reverse the effects of the fall on this planet. So here's the big idea this morning. And you've probably already heard this word, right? Plunge. That's what I want you to do. Picture a pool and jumping, cannonballing into the deep end of motherhood. Not holding back, but giving yourself wholly to it, completely to it. Plunge yourselves, mothers, into the glorious ministry of passing the faith on to your children. Man, that's what God has given you the task of. And I pray that you would do it and do it well. So how do you do that? Our text here has several things for us to look at here. Good insight, good information for how to do that as we see this modeled out. Our text gives us some insight into the life of Timothy here. Timothy, probably in his 30s, is Paul's the one that he is mentoring. He's traveled around with Paul, and Paul has left him at Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, to be the pastor while he traveled on and planted other churches. He left Timothy at Ephesus, and here, as like the spiritual father, and then as he mentions his mother and his grandmother, Eunice, his mother Eunice, and his grandmother Lois. How many grandmothers do we have here this morning? Praise God for grandmas too, right? Thankful for grandmas. I'm blessed. One of my grandmothers is still living. My other grandma, my dad's mom, went to be with the Lord well over a decade ago. About 15 years ago, I guess. But nevertheless, grandmas, what is it about? I mean, grandmas are like magnets to children, amen? They just see, granny, and they want to run to them. I don't know what it is, y'all. I don't know how it changes at some point in life. But nevertheless, you grandmas are like magnets to kids. And so you get a special opportunity there as well. So mamas, grandmas, but let me say women in general. You have an opportunity in this through this congregation, through your community, through your work, wherever it is where you have a relationship with the next generation to make an impact. Some of the greatest women who've had an influence on my life were not my mother. They were just godly women who poured into me and loved me and pointed me to Jesus and lived out Jesus before me. And so even if you're not a mother here this morning, God wants to use you and wants you to even plunge in, right? To making a difference, making an impact, to influence the next generation for God. So the first thing we do, how do we do that? We look at the text here, is simply teach your children. I say simply because, let's be honest, that is a task and a half, isn't it? I mean, you're always teaching. Everything's a teaching opportunity. It's not really explicit here in the text, okay? But it's implicit throughout, the idea of teaching. If the faith is going to be passed on, what does that mean? That means then the truths of the faith have to be passed on with them to the children, okay? We always got to keep in mind, just as we looked a moment ago, and I read one passage there from Psalm 127, that children are a gift from the Lord. But let me just remind you what the Bible says about teaching children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 7, listen to what it says. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." And here it is. "You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up." That's God's command to us, that we would teach our children. And we know the promise that we have from Proverbs 22. Train up a child in the way he should go, and what, church? He will never depart from it. That's a promise. That's a general rule. That's a principle. I know that doesn't happen every time, because some of you raised your children. You raised them right in the Lord, but now they're walking away from the Lord. They're not with the Lord. And you're saying, "Lord, you promised. you keep praying for that child that he'll return. Because God has promised as a general principle, raise up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and they will not depart from it. And don't forget Ephesians 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. We got to teach them, right? They're not what the old philosophers talked about, that blank slate. They're not that, right? They're born sinners. The Bible says that they are born with a sinful nature. And so you got to get in there and you got to erase some stuff, right? You got to get in there with that eraser and get rid of some stuff and then pour into them truth and goodness and godliness. You got to teach them. As much as we like to hear about the experiential side of Christianity, we cannot forget, we cannot neglect the propositional side, the truth side, the teaching side. Because it's through that side of the faith, through that aspect of Christianity, that experience makes sense, right? It's through the teaching side that teaching gets direction and our experience gets direction. So we've got to teach. We have to teach and not just experience. So where do we find this truth? Well, here in 2 Timothy, flip with me just two chapters over to chapter 3. It's really important that we see this because we see Paul talking to Timothy here, talking about his mother and his grandmother. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 14 right there. Paul says, but as for you, Timothy, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how, notice this, from childhood, you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. In other words, where did he learn all this? From the Bible, right? Yes, teach them science. Yes, teach them math. Yes, social studies, history, English, reading. All those subjects are so important. But most of all, teach them the Word of God. Amen? You've got to teach them the Word of God. And not only teach them the Word of God, but teach them to see all those other things through the Word of God. Right? The Bible is to be our lens that we see the world through. The Bible is to be the authority that is over us and is to be the foundation that we stand on. And so you got to teach them the Bible. You got to, if you don't teach them anything else, the word here says that if you just taught them the Bible, they'd be wise and they would be well equipped to face this life. And of course, as you teach them the word, you teach them the gospel. Never neglect to evangelize your children. You know, think about this for a moment. We talk about outreach programs and all that. And I know Pastor Mark oversees the Grow Ministry here at Eastwood. And that's all well and good to reach out. But evangelism begins in the home, doesn't it? Right? We've got to teach our children that they are sinners in need of a Savior. And that Jesus Christ came, sent by God to die for their sins, to live in their place and to die in their place, and rose again from the dead, and to teach them that if they'll believe on Christ, repent of sin and believe, then they will be saved. You've got to teach them the gospel. Teach them the gospel. It goes through formal teaching, the Bible, right? Family time, Sunday school, preaching, catechism, children and youth ministry, scripture memorization, all those things. But don't forget the informal teaching times too, right? Because they're always watching you. They're always seeing how you interact with things, how you respond to stuff. Every moment is a teaching moment. That's one of the things I love about my wife, Christy, is she teaches our children. You know, I'm more the book guy, right? When I teach the kids, it's like, y'all sit down, hush, y'all gonna learn something, okay? But Christy's like, let's experience things. Let's go pick flowers and talk about, let's take a Play-Doh and mold it and make it right. But we know that children learn through both formal and informal. And a lot of times the informal is even more important because it's in between those classroom times when you get to live out and try to put into place the truths that you've learned. right? So always keep that in mind, that every moment is a teaching moment. Teach your children no matter what age. I'm 34 years old, and I'm still learning from my mama. I'm still learning from my wife. I'm still learning from my sister-in-law. I'm so glad to have my sister-in-law and my brother here with us this morning too. What a blessing. What a blessing it is to have godly women in my life to help me learn. So teach your children. That's the first thing as you try to plunge in. But mama, secondly, this morning, think about this. Pray for your children. And you're going to say, when I get done with this, I've heard this 1,000 times. Are you doing it? That's what it comes down to, right? It's not a matter of fact, you know what to do. The question is, are you doing it? And we need to be reminded, pray for your children. Paul here is sort of as this spiritual father says that he's praying for Timothy. We believe that Timothy did not have a dad who knew the Lord. We believe that he was a pagan, that he did not follow Jesus Christ. But we know that these women, Eunice and Lois, had such an important impact on his life. And then Paul came along and became like that spiritual father to him. And we know good and well that most likely Timothy's mama and grandmama were prayers, right? They were praying people. To be a Christian is to be a praying person. And we believe that they got in there and they prayed. Some of the strongest praying people I've ever known in my life were women. Amen? Were mamas who had a burden and they began to pray for their children. Let me just share with you 3 P's of praying when it comes to children. One is be persistent. That's what we say here. It says that Paul prayed constantly. Be persistent. Secondly, be private in your prayer. When you pray for your children, wherever it is, maybe it's in your room or maybe in the shower, wherever it is that you can get alone, because we know mamas have precious few moments alone. But in private, you lift up those babies to the Lord. You pray for them. You pour out your heart for them to the Lord. And He hears you. And He works when you are asleep even. And then the third P is public. Pray for your children in their presence. Let them know that you're praying for them, that they could hear you pray, and they could hear your burden, that they would know that you love them and are praying for them. So persistent, private, and public as you pray for them. And what should you pray for? Everything. Let me say it again. What should you pray for? Everything. Pray for their bodies. Pray for their minds. Pray for their spirit. Don't leave anything out. Bathe everything. Saturate everything in prayer. Teach, pray, teach, pray, teach, pray. Pray for them in the good times. Pray for them in the bad times. Pray for them when they get the A's. Pray for them when they get the F's. You see what I'm saying? At all times, pray for them. A praying mama is a powerful influence. Third, weep for your children. Weep for your children. We read here in verse 4 of chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. That Timothy was a weeper. Paul says, as I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith. He goes on to say other things there. So in verse 4, we learn that he was a weeper. But my question as I read that was, where did he learn to weep over spiritual things? Where did he learn to get his heart broken for the things of God? I bet that was from his mama and his grandmama. Now listen, I know daddy's weeping. It's usually a big deal if daddy cries. But God has blessed you ladies with a tenderness. And I praise God for that. He's blessed you with a tenderness that you weep. And sometimes you weep easily. And that's not a bad thing. You should embrace that. Because when we see a tear come to a woman's eye, that trains us. When a baby or a child or a teenager sees a tear come to their mama's eye, that says to that child, this is important. And my heart should be broken over this as well. Friends, what breaks your heart? I pray what breaks your heart is what breaks God's heart. And I pray that that's beginning to break your child's heart. As well, there once was a mother who had 3 boys. And they had yet to trust Christ. They were of age where they could understand the gospel and they understood that they were sinners, but yet they had not come to Christ yet. And there was a preacher who was holding a revival service at the old country church near their house. And he came by and visited them. And the mother asked the preacher, said, "Why are not my boys being saved when so many other children are being saved? I see no conviction in them. I see no tears in their eyes." And the preacher said, "May I speak plainly, ma'am? May I be blunt with you?" And she said, "Well, of course." He said, "Your children are dry-eyed and unconcerned because their mother is. Did you ever pull them aside and talk about their salvation? Have you ever spent sleepless nights weeping over their lost condition?" And the mother said, "No, never." And he said, "These boys are unsaved because their mother has no burden for them." And I want you to know that mama began to weep that very night, wept over her boys. And it wasn't long until they heard their mama weeping. And it wasn't long before the Lord moved and the boys said yes to Jesus. Ladies, I pray you'd get a burden for your children, that you'd weep over your children when they see how serious you are about the Lord and their condition. You have a great influence through your tears, greater than maybe you ever realized. Fourth is that you model for your children. Model for your children. Look here at verse 7. For 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Paul says here, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." We always have to remember that the faith is not just taught, right? It's caught. Right, we live out the faith and our children model us, right? We're their examples. And here, Paul says that we need to exemplify, especially mothers, as we think about this, three things. One is a powerful fearlessness. Somebody that knows that God is in control. And yes, there are scary things, but they are a great courage. They're not afraid because they know the Lord is with them. And ladies, you can model that. It's one thing for daddy to not be scared. But let's be honest, a lot of times the babies and children are looking to mama. And you, mother, have an opportunity to model courageousness in them. Fearlessness, a powerful fearlessness. But not only that, you get to model love. They're watching you. And the Lord has commanded us to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And you get an opportunity to model. How do you do that? And again, just by nature, we men are task-oriented, aren't we? Okay, I'm just going to admit it. It's like sometimes I can be, I've got to get something done. I'm not thinking about people. But God has made women generally the other way. They're not as concerned with tasks as they are about people. And so you ladies get just a special opportunity to model for children and for babies and for teenagers love, because you in particular are focused on people and meeting their needs with love. What an opportunity you all have in that. And then finally he says to model self-control. That's a fruit of the Spirit, right? That's a fruit of the Spirit, that you would have self-control, that you would have control of your anger, and you'd have control of your tongue, and you'd have control of your body, and you'd have control of every aspect of your life, that you are in self-control, and you get to model moderation, you get to model humility, and you get to model gentleness to your children. Self-control. And then finally this morning, number 5. How do you plunge in, mothers, to the glorious task of passing on the faith to your children? You encourage your children. I love the imagery here in this passage. Look at verse 6. I wanted to say verse 6 for last. I wanted to do 7 and then go back to 6. Look at verse 6. It says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Fan into flame. Maybe your translation says kindle afresh, or maybe it says to stir up. Whatever your translation says, I particularly like the imagery of fan into flame. Just picture when you're trying to start that fire and you've got the stuff down there and you're blowing it, right? And you're trying to get it built up. And you get maybe some a fan or a piece of cardboard or one of those back in the old days, right? To stoke up that fire, to get the oxygen in there, that it might burn with brightness. And that's what you mamas in particular get to do. You get to be the biggest cheerleaders in your child's life. to make them and to encourage them to be what God would have them to be. And I pray as you encourage them that you would encourage them in that way. Baby, I want you to be whatever God wants you to be. Yes, I have dreams for you. Yes, I want you to do these things. Yes, I'm going to kind of live out some of my dreams in you. Let's be honest, okay? But I want you to be, baby, whatever God wants you to be. Follow him, love him, trust him. And you get to encourage him and cheer him on and love him. Love him. I played a lot of sports. And I've done a lot of things in my life. And my mama and my daddy have never missed an opportunity to encourage me in that. Never. And it's made a world of a difference because it gives a child confidence, doesn't it? That they have somebody who's in their corner. And even if they fail, somebody's with them there. And so ladies, mamas, grandmamas, encourage your children. They naturally want to please you. My youngest right now, Nathaniel, is learning to potty train. And that's always an adventure, you know what I'm saying? But he's so excited. He gets two M&Ms when he goes to the potty, right? And man, he can't wait. You know, M&Ms, he's ready. You know, he's went to the potty and done all that stuff. And if he does the other one, he gets five. You know, so we're really working on this. But just things simple as that makes a world of a difference. But I wish you could see, and you've seen it in your own children, the joy that's in their heart when you say, "Way to go, man! Good job, Nathaniel!" And you get to do that from the day your baby's born until the day that you either are laid in the ground yourself or you lay them in the ground. It's a wonderful opportunity, a blessing. This past Wednesday, Christy was on the couch there at the house, and she and I had gotten up early, like 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what was. Anyway, we got up really early. And so she had kind of went in there to lay on the couch about 6 o'clock or so, and she was trying to catch a little nap before the kids got up. Well, Nathaniel, the one I just talked about, he is mama's boy, okay? He loves his mama. The first word out of his mouth when he wakes up in the morning is, "Mama!" You know, he wants mama. And he just wants to lay with her and touch her and do all those things. And here Christy is trying to lay on the couch, and he's up there, and he's just laying. He's flopping and flipping and all those things. And she's like, "Oh, my goodness, look at him." And I said this to her. I said, "Christy, I bet you never thought in a million years you would be as loved by somebody as that baby loves you." And that's true, guys. Your babies love you, mama. You get an opportunity to influence their lives, to impact them. You gave them life. You birthed them. And you get to influence them. Don't miss that opportunity. Don't miss that opportunity. Dive in. Plunge in. This past Tuesday, Kevin Durant, Oklahoma City Thunder, was awarded the MVP of the NBA, Most Valuable Player of the National Basketball Association. And it was one of the most moving speeches you ever seen because he thanked everybody else. But he spent a special time thanking his mama. And I want to read to you just what he said here. He said this, he said, by the way, Kevin Durant is a follower of Christ, and praise God for that. You can see that. You can see the difference in somebody when they are a follower of Christ. But here's what he said. Talking to his mama, he said, "You made us believe, kept us out of the streets, put clothes on our backs, food on the table. When you didn't eat, you made sure that we ate. You sacrificed us for us." And then he finished up with this. He said, "Mom, you are the real MVP." And so I say to you mothers this morning, you've sacrificed, you've loved, you kept those babies out of trouble. You've done all these things, you provided for them. And I say to you this morning, on behalf of daddies and the men of this congregation, you are the real MVP. Here's my prayer. May you dive into motherhood for the glory of God and the sake of the upcoming generation. I'm about to pray and give the invitation, but let me say this morning. If you're here and you're apart from Jesus Christ, I don't know your mother, but if you're apart from Jesus this morning, I bet one of the things that make your mother more happy than anything in the world would be to know that their child would come to know Christ as their Savior and Lord. And so if you're here this morning, I want to invite you. We're about to have a time of invitation, not out of tradition, but as a genuine opportunity for you to respond. This morning, would you give your life to Christ? We sang white flag a moment ago. Would you raise your white flag and say, I surrender to Jesus. I repent of my sin and believe on Christ. If you'd like to do that, we invite you to just come up during this time. I'd love to pray with you, talk with you about the gospel. Also, if you're here and you would like to join our church, I would love to talk with you about that. During this time of invitation, just come forward. I'll receive you. My family's going to be coming this morning. And so we want to invite you also to become a member of Eastwood Baptist Church. Just let God move and be obedient to Him. That's what we ask. Let's all stand together as we pray this morning. Lord Jesus, we give this moment to You. We invite the Holy Spirit, who's already here, Father, I believe, because Your people are gathered together, who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's already here, but we invite the Holy Spirit to move, to convict, to sure up, to do whatever the Holy Spirit needs to do in this time, God. And we do pray, Father, that You would move in our midst. May we be obedient to what You lead us to do. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.